Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, Disarming the Powers and Authorities of Darkness.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "And you are complete in him, which is the head of all," listen what it says, "you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body and the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, in whom he has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all of your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting and the ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled all principalities and powers, and have made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. And you are complete in him, verse number 10 says. Somebody say, "I am complete in God." All right. Stop allowing all of this other stuff to say you're not complete. Somebody say again, "I am complete in him." All right, that's Colossians 2 and verse number 10. Whenever you feel like you're having a lower self-esteem day, whenever you see your esteem is going too high, come back and say, I'm not going to be puffed up in my own knowledge. I am complete in him. And in being complete in him, he says, now he that hath completed you is over all principalities and powers. First John picks it up and says, now greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. Now we are complete in him, and he that has completed us is over all principalities and powers. Why did those principalities and powers still have power to bind us, confuse us, cause us to be distracted, cause stealing and killing and destruction to come in our lives? Could it be that we lack the faith to believe that we are complete in him? For a few moments, the next 3 weeks, I want to talk from a real clear subject, disarming the rulers and the authorities of darkness. Disarming the rulers and the authorities of darkness. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. For these next few moments, God, let me speak, God, and let me speak as an oracle, God. Let me speak your truth, God. Let me show something that has been veiled, Lord. Let me release something, Father, that will unlock, oh God, forever. God, you said the church has the keys to binding and loosening, God. I bind up everything that Satan has done, has been attempting to do, and would do in the future. I bind it up now in Jesus' name. And I release the ability, God, to walk in the freedom, God, that we now become co-laborers with Christ, disarming the powers and the authorities of darkness. It is in the matchless name of Jesus I pray. And all God's people said amen and amen. One of the key themes that Apostle Paul is writing in the book of Colossians, he is writing that they would be preserved to the end. Somebody say, "I will be preserved to the end." All right. One of the key things that Apostle Paul is writing to this church at Colossae, he's writing that they would not, amen, go back into Jewish custom. They would not, amen, exalt the worshiping of angels, which is really strange worship. And he's really encouraging them, don't be guided by the mixing of your Christian faith with philosophies of men. Don't be deceived by mixing of the Christian faith with the philosophy. If there is any warning that we, living in 2017, must be aware of, is that there is a little bit of mixing of the Christian faith with a whole lot of pop psychology. We have a little bit of Christian faith, but then in our Christian faith, we mix a lot of philosophies of men. And the Bible says through your philosophies, the power of God is none effect. We've got to be sold out. We've got to be 100% on Christ, the solid rock I stand. And all other ground. Somebody said to me, all other ground is sank in sand. Is sinking in sand. This is what Apostle Paul is writing to those that who are at Colossae. He really wanted to expose that you're mixing true worship with strange worship. You're mixing Christian faith with philosophies that come from men. And one of the most things that he had to deal with is they were denying the deity of Christ. What that basically means is that Christ alone was not God and man and the savior of the whole world. And so we needed to mix a little bit of our works in order to be redeemed, in order to be the righteous, in order to be the people of the Most High God. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. If we're going to truly disarm powers and authority, philosophies don't work. If you really, 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 really gonna meet some dark and demonic stuff that is trying to cause the demise of your family, traditions don't work. It's gonna take a it is written. It's gonna take Christ, the word, becoming rhema as we speak it. And so whether it's Psalms 23 or Deuteronomy 8, because it is the rhema for the moment when we speak it, the powers of hell know they better get up off my child because a vessel of God has now spoken. When it comes to disarming, I'm going to say again, philosophy, traditions, angels, none of that stuff works. It takes the rhema word of God and the faith to believe that what God has said will work. When he begins to write in the whole entire writing of Colossians, he's trying to really get us to see that it is on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. And he begins to let us know how we're going to disarm. Real quickly, turn to Colossians chapter 1, and I'll show you where he begins, and then I'll lead you right into, amen, the key verses of verse 10 through 15. In Colossians chapter number 1, he says, now, if you're going to disarm the authorities and the power, Colossians 1 and 10, he says, now, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So he says, first, walk worthy. He says, then when you walk worthy, increase in the knowledge of God. Do me a favor. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, how much have you increased in the knowledge of God this week? You should have picked up a nugget some way to knock a devil in the head this week. You should have picked up somewhere in reading this week, in praying this week, in studying this week. You should have not only walked worthy, but you also to pick up some nugget that the devil know. I can't mess with them this week because they got a nugget that'll get me out of their life. Apostle Paul in Colossians 1, and it says that you would walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. It's amazing when you walk worthy and then you increase in the knowledge of God. The next thing just happens. He says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. He continues in verse number 12. Keep there. Stay right there. It says, giving thanks unto the Father which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who have, listen. Now he says, now when you walk worthy, when you become fruitful, when you increase in the knowledge of God, you are strengthened in his might, all right? Then listen what verse 12 says. It says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Every now and then, I hear you, Holy Ghost, Shelton, all we need to do is get out the word and read that. I'm going to say that again. Because that scripture right there is so powerful. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Every now and then, all you need to do is open up your Bible and read it in your bedroom, and it'll straighten out everything that's going on in your bedroom. Because the word said, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Somebody say, I am delivered. Skip on down to verse number 26 of that same chapter. He says, even the mystery which have been hidden from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to the saints. He's saying there is stuff that I hid from other generations that I'm just going to give it to you. Somebody should have said hallelujah right there. Are y'all in verse 26 of the first chapter? He said, even the mystery which have been hidden from ages, from generations, but now has been made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory and the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, there are things that have been hidden that if you would take the time to read, if you would take the time to pray, if you would take the time to just sit and listen, I'm going to show you something so powerful that Elisha will be wishing that he showed it to him. That Joshua will be wishing, man, why didn't God show that to me? That's why it is so important to slow down. God's trying to show us something. That's why it's so important to become unbusy. Y'all don't know how close I am. I'm ready to throw my iPhone away. I'm tired of it. I know y'all think I'm playing. Y'all know I don't play like that. A lot of stuff that they are saying gonna make us connected better. All it is a distraction device. And now we can't read the word because we gotta check who responded to our Facebook posts. We can't stay in prayer because there go ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. And we know who ding dong, ding dong text mean who it is. So I can't let him text me and not answer. And so we was in prayer and God was trying to show us something that has been hidden in the mystery fair and we missed it because of daggone text. So important. Slow down. Become unbusy. Because Colossians tells us God's trying to reveal to us something that has been hidden from the ages that he's trying to make known to us. And then he tells us somewhat what it is, which in that is really enough. Look at the latter part of the verse number 26 and 27. He said, this great mystery that has been hidden is that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. I'm trying to show you there is something in you that because what's in you, it ain't nothing out you that can handle you. But because you really don't know what's in you, everything outside of you confuses you. Everything outside of you mixes you up and gets you distracted. Because you don't know Christ, the hope of glory, God and I, we bad, we enough. And if everybody don't want to be bothered by me, if I got Christ, then I'm just fine. Do me a favor, tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, every now and then, turn it off. Now, you're going to say something that they're not going to like. Say, consider throwing it away. I don't know. Let me sidebar real quickly. Facebook just came on the news and said that through instant message, now they have the right that they can turn your device on and look at what you're doing anytime they want to, because when you signed that agreement, you said they could do it. So you have something beside you in your bedroom that can be turned on. If you got instant messenger, anytime they want to, they can turn. You said they could do it. And now they can listen to your conversation. And we don't think the stage is being set for the Antichrist. How they gonna know we Christian? Turn on our phones. Some of us. There are things that, this is what I'm really trying to say. Don't get mad with me, please. There are things that God is trying to show us. Stuff that has been hidden. Stuff that has been hidden. And he's now trying to show us it. And one of the main reasons he's trying to show us it, so we can disarm the powers and the authorities of darkness, but we're missing it because of text. And y'all know I like football. I watched Maryland pretty much all day yesterday. I was happy to watch Morgan win a homecoming. Yes. I'm glad I got one Morganite that's cheering. What's the wrong with the rest of you Morganite? Okay. I like all that stuff. But what I've determined, it ain't going to distract me. You didn't hear what I said. What I've determined, it ain't going to distract me. God's trying to show me something. God's trying to tell me something. God's trying to see who wants to know this mystery, whether it's about the book of Romans or whether it's about what our government is about to do with Korea or North Korea or Iran. Ah, you didn't know God wanted to tell us that kind of stuff? When you get a chance, read Amos chapter 3 and verse number 7. When you get a chance, read Proverbs 15 and 3. We think that the eyes of the Lord only can reveal good stuff. Go read for Proverbs 15 and 3. The eyes of the Lord behold the good and the evil. He don't just know what the good stuff. He know what the evil plans of the enemy. And he wants to reveal them to us to keep us and our family way away from this junk. But what the enemy wants us to be is sleep that we never saw it coming. Are y'all still here? He says, let me read it again, Colossians 1, 26 and 27, even the mystery which have been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. I can't get away from it, but it's now made manifest to the saints. There is stuff now that God wants to show us if we'll take the time for him to reveal it. I just said something. There is stuff that God wants to show us if we'll take the time for him to reveal it. I need to share with you. He ain't gonna do it in a microwave moment. Most of the time, he ain't gonna do it in, you know, we're called a, what is that that we're called? We're called a, I can't remember. If we don't get it in 30 to 40, 50 seconds, 2 minutes, we're not interested. With that kind of generation. But sometimes what God wants to show you, it's going to take 2 hours of prayer. And I might need you to get rid of doxology, Misa, because I know nobody want to hear that. Sometimes what God wants to show us about our family, it's going to take 2 months of fasting. You really want to get that demon out your house? Oh, or you become familiar with it, so it don't matter anymore that the demon's there. I'm going to say again, sometimes to get that demon out of our house, it's going to take 2 months of fasting and prayer. I know we want to come to the altar. We want to come to one church service, pastor spit, and pastor prophesy, and it happened. It will happen like that sometime, but most of the time, it's going to take long suffering and patience. And this generation lacks both of those. Somebody do me a favor, throw up your hand and say, Lord, I'll wait till you show it to me. All right, be careful what you're saying. I feel like I need to say that again. You can put your hands down. Sometimes what God is trying to show us to break the back of the enemy in our house, it is going to take 2 months of fasting. How bad do you want your family free? Oh, I forgot. We like Natum. Are there not better waters? Why do I got to go dip in those waters? One of the things that I've discovered about God, he going to make sure that the power is not accredited to man. He never does it our way. He never does it the way we, God, this is what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to drive my car around the block, God, and I'm going to pray. While I'm riding in that car, I'm going to blast Kirk Franklin real loud. I'm going to drive Kirk Franklin real loud. And God, once I drive around the block one time, everything in my house is going to be free when I get home. And you know what God is saying? You're funny. I didn't know you did stand-up comedy. Okay, let's see if that worked. God said, didn't I tell you to get up on your knees at 3 o'clock and pray until I tell you not to pray? And you saying, God, I'll drive around the block one time, God. Okay, God, I'll drive around the block 3 times. And when I come home, I want all my family free. And God says, okay, you think I'm playing with you. Okay, now I'm not on joke time now. Let's stare each other down and let's see which method works. I told you to get up and pray at 3 o'clock in the morning. And until I tell you to stop, do it. And watch what I'll do with your family. There are many counsels in a man's heart. There are many counsels in a man's heart. But it is only the counsel of the Lord that'll stand. There is stuff. I'm still in 1 Colossians 1, 26 and 27. There is stuff that God's trying to show us. But y'all better please hear me. We only get it his way. And that's what he's showing us in Colossians. That I want to make you overcomer, but you got to do it my way. He's telling the Jewish believers, you can't go back to Judaism. They was trying to exalt certain days that if we observe these days, you can't go back to making just, if you get special education, special knowledge, they was trying to promote their education and their knowledge. No. It's Christ. And Christ, according to Joel 2 and 11, is the captain of the Lord's host. And whatever he orders, if you want to win, you better do that. Do me a favor, talk to your neighbor, say, neighbor, whatever Christ is, tell them, say, Christ is the Lord of hosts. Whatever he orders, if you want to win, you better do that. You get ready to doxology me, son. I'm almost done. God really desires us to disarm the rulers and the authorities of darkness. He really wants us to do that. He really wants us to understand the pedigree, the purpose, and the plan of Satan. Y'all, please hear me, all right? Because this is the meat, and I'll be done. He really wants us to understand the plan, the pedigree, and the purpose of Satan. He wants to stop the power of that was a serpent in Genesis that graduates to a dragon in Revelation. He wants us to be able to stop that being able to work in our lives. He said in 1 Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because this dragon goes about. He wants us to be able to stop that. What the enemy really wants to do is he wants to isolate so he can encounter, so he can entrap, so he can enslave, that he can then imprison. This is key stuff. This is what the enemy wants to do. He loves to isolate you because he know what Genesis says. It's not good for man to be. Come on, tell me what Ecclesiastes says. Two are better than. So the enemy knows the word. He just won't live it. So the first thing he wants to do, whenever y'all better please hear me because you need to look for this. Whenever you don't want to be bothered with nobody and I'm going to do God by myself, you are on the path to the next step. He knows if you keep in company with believers, y'all going to keep each other accountable. Y'all going to keep each other in check. Well, man, have you been praying? Yo, man, have you been reading your word? Well, man, I can't even talk to you because that dumb device. See, if you stay in fellowship with people, people are going to check you on what you should be checked on. But the enemy knows that if I get you by yourself, or even if it get me by myself, he knows I will do what's right in my own eyes. And I will call right wrong because I'm doing it. I'll call, y'all didn't hear what I said, I'm going to say it again. Because I'm doing it, I'll call it right because I'm doing it. So the enemy has to isolate us. The first thing he does is isolate. I'm trying to tell you his pedigree, his purpose now in his plan. He wants to isolate you. Normally when he isolates you, he has you in this seclusive place that you think you're the only one that got it together. You're the only one right. You're the only one strong. You're the only one. No, come down, baby. Somebody is walking in the same place you walk in. So he likes to isolate. Whenever he isolates, he then encounters. He start whispering strange stuff. The Bible says Satan appears as an angel of light. Everything that you heard that you thought was powerful did not necessarily come from God. That's why knowing the word is so important. He isolates so he can then encounter. After he encounters, his plan is to entrap. After he entraps, then he enslaves. Then the scripture that Elder LaShawn quoted last week, the things that I don't want to do, I do. That's called enslavement. And the things that I really want to do, I don't do. Oh, wretched man that I, who can deliver me? I'm going to tell you who's in you. Christ, the hope of glory. So the enemy isolates that he might encounter, that he might be entrapped. Do me a favor, say, neighbor, if you are entrapped, I have the power to free you today. Glory to God. Glory to God. I wish I had time. I'd go into Psalm 61. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. He has anointed me to set to liberty them that are bound. Your anointing is more than for singing and for shouting and for dancing and for prophesying. Your anointing is to set somebody else free. But the enemy tries his best. Let me get finished. He tries to isolate that he might encounter, that he might entrap, that he might enslave. And the last stage is that he might imprison. My greatest concern right now in this hour is not only the people of God, but our young ones that are now in prison. And I'll really get into this next week. All right, there are three levels of imprisonment that our, not just our young people, but I'm on that vein right now. There are three levels of imprisonment that the enemy now have people in. They can't get out. They wish they could do better. They don't know how to get out. And if they're not careful, they're going to greater and greater levels of imprisonment. But y'all please hear me. It's our job to get them out. It's our job to set them free. That's why we come to church, fellowship one another, to get more oily, to get more powerful. That's why we have prayer partners. That's why we have pastors, prophets, evangelists, because when we leave, good God, when we leave here, we need to have some power not only in us, but on us, that we can pull them out the fire. There are three, there are stages that people are in. So the enemy isolates, he's encountering, he's entrapped, that he enslaved in order that he might imprison. How do I know somebody has been isolated? How do I know somebody has encountered the evil one? How do I know somebody is now entrapped? How do I know somebody's enslaved? How do I know somebody in prison? The specialty that you'll see at work when people are in this stage is confusion is always around them. And normally they'll confess it to you. I'm so confused. God is not the author. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, there's too much God in you to be consistently confused. All right, if anybody in here, you know, that specialty is at work, just anytime in the service, throw up your hand and say, God, free me from this confusion. I'm not supposed to be confused like this. And more people are confused than the people that got their hand up. They don't know if the Bible is true. They don't know if Jesus is the Son of God. They don't know if I can believe Genesis through Revelation. They don't know if church is worth going to. They don't believe none. They confused about the tithe. They confused about prophecy. They confused about what should we preach. They confused about everything. Let me tell you, Satan is the master of confusion. Somebody said me real loud, confusion is his specialty. But we're supposed to walk in the room and bust all that up. I know what we're supposed to do. I know where we're supposed to be going. I know how we're going to get there. Y'all better please hear me, especially you mighty men of valor. Confusion should not consistently overtake you. Too much God is in you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.